Do you crave deep and meaningful conversations? The kind of conversations that jazz you up, stretch your mind, and leave you wanting more? Welcome to Suzanne Says, Courageous Conversations about Life and Living. I'm your host, Suzanne Bird Harris, and I talk with friends and colleagues about what lights them up, their fears and flaws, who they've been, who they are, and who they're becoming. You know, the stuff that makes and breaks us. So get comfy. Here we go. Hello, James. I am so excited to talk to you today. How are you, sir? Here. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, as you know, my little podcast is a little baby in diapers still, which is awesome in and of itself. But I have asked this opening question of everyone so far, and I'm going to not accept you.
Okay.
I want you to tell me and the folks listening, without mentioning what you do for people, who are you?
I'm an artist. I create art.
That's a great answer, and I find that to be absolutely true. So tell people what kind of art you create. Expand.
A little bit of everything. I'm a trained illustrator. Have a degree in illustration and graphic design. So create a lot of different things, you know, traditional artwork, a lot of digital artwork now. I really enjoy digital medium just for the immediacy of it. You know, there's something nice about being able to turn something around and, you know, have an idea and get it out there as something public really quickly. So I enjoy that. I like writing. I play music. You name it. I don't think that I am terribly unique in that. I think that all people are creators, you know, and that's what I lean into. And that's the kind of people that I find myself magnetized to, are people that create things. Mm-hmm. Because there's real joy in that. I think that's really ultimately what we're put here for.
Yeah. Well, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And you lead me right to my next question, which I can predict the answer, but I'll let you answer anyway.
Okay.
So in your life, are you doing exactly what you want to be doing?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, within reason. I think that all of us, if we're real honest, it's a journey, you know. It's not all rainbows and lollipops all the time.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I've spent 21 years gainfully unemployed, just doing what I do, and that's not so bad.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting asking that question of all the people I've talked to so far. Only one of them is not self-employed, including us, you know, and her answer didn't vary, but from the answer you just gave or that others have given, because I think when you're self-employed, hopefully you have the good sense to be getting yourself into something you want to do, you know?
On the same time, I've seen people that are doing that. They're self-employed and they're working it harder than they would a normal 9-to-5 job, and they don't like it. And, you know, I've worked with people that were like that. I've worked with businesses that were that way. Sometimes you just do something for money. That's something I really do admonish a lot of my clients and stuff for. Just don't just do things for money. Because you never know, you might make a bunch of money doing it and all of a sudden realize you really hate it. Point in case with me is developed a lot of websites over the years. Because it was easy money. And so I got pigeonholed there for a while as a website developer. And that's, you know, while I can do that, it's not ultimately what I want to do. Mm-hmm. There are people out there that are doing it. And they're just as miserable as the people who are at a 9-to-5 job. Sometimes even more so, because then they've got the added stress of, you know, running a business on top of just getting the work done.
Yeah. And as we all know, when you run a business or attempt to, you just gave yourself every damn job in the organization, not just the one you're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Well, I can tell you, not all of us are good at everything it takes to run a business.
That is for sure.
Oddly enough, you know, and I see a lot of that kind of stuff out there, this whole mentality that, well, if I just buy this course or if I buy this book, then I'll have this great marketing ability, or you know, this great content creation ability, or whatever. And it's, you know, it didn't really work that way. There are things you're just not good at. I'm not good at keeping the books.
Yeah.
I'm not good with dealing with the IRS. So I pay somebody else to do all that crap. So I can spend the time doing what I'm good at, you know.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
I have not done as good a job at that, what you just said, as I would like to, but the whole get rid of what you don't like to do or what you're not good at, let someone else who is do it. I am still hoarding too many of the jobs.
Yeah. It's easy to do. And I think we all do that to some extent, you know. But there's also that thing of, you know, sometimes you just got to do it because you can't pay somebody else to do it, or there is nobody else around to do it. So
Right.
you do it to the best of your abilities and, you know,
Let it
hope
be
that it works
enough.
well enough until you can afford to outsource it, or, you know, until it changes, or until you get really good at it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, with, you know, with the podcast, you said your podcast is a baby podcast. You know, you didn't roll out of the gates, Joe Rogan. You know,
Yeah.
you start off small. We all start off small. We all start off doing what we can do, and then it grows, or it doesn't grow, and we offload it to somebody else.
Yeah. I feel really good about it. It's not that I don't want lots of people to listen to this. I do because, yeah, egotistically, I think the conversations I have in my life are fucking fantastic and
Agree.
everybody could learn something from them. Not that I'm any kind of authority that I'm trying to spread and, you know, that's not it. It's the fascination factor of, oh, the things that make you say, those are
Yeah.
the things I love to talk about. And so far, you know, this doing this has really illuminated for me how many awesomely cool people I know.
Yeah.
Holy
Yeah, it's amazing. Talk about podcasting. I hear that quite a bit, you know. I don't really have anybody that I could talk to. Yes, you do. I
cow.
mean, we all do. You know,
Yeah.
even if it's the dude across the street, there are awesome people all over the place, and you can have insanely good conversations with a lot of different people.
Yep. Yep.
And
In fact,
if you've built your social media right, you better fucking have some cool people in there, or you're doing it wrong.
that's for sure. I was across the street last night talking to my neighbor about she's friends with me on Facebook, so she's aware that I've started this podcast. And but we got into this conversation about having adult daughters and the whirlwind that is trying to figure out how to be a mom to one of those versus the teenage one or the elementary school one or the baby one. And mid-sentence, it hit me. This should be an episode of Suzanne Says. This is the kind of conversation I'm talking about. And
Yeah.
she's like, whoo, well, I would love to do that. And I'm like, no,
There you
you're everywhere.
go. Content is everywhere.
Yeah.
There's no excuse to not. I mean, if you're doing it and want to do it, just do it, because
Yeah.
there's plenty.
Yeah. And you know, for me personally, doing this podcast, I did not decide to do this for a quote unquote business reason. I did this because I need these conversations on a regular basis in my life. And I have them, but it felt a little teensy bit selfish to keep them just between me and the other person because I know too many people. Like yourself and all the others I've talked to so far, and all the ones I have planned, that really conversations about more than the weather matter to us.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to have those kind of conversations in your life is fuel for me to do not just the things I love, but the long list of things I'm stuck doing
Yep.
for all the aforementioned reasons, you know?
Yeah.
And doing this is like, it's not a have to, it's a get to.
Yeah.
So big to get to.
Yeah, I mean, it really can. A good conversation can be, you know, better than a jolt of caffeine.
Yeah.
can really pick you up and motivate you. It's good.
So do you consider yourself an idea machine? Like, do you suffer the plethora and overload of ideas coming at you all the time?
I do. I do.
I figured you did.
Yeah, that's and you know, that's probably my biggest struggle, is having too many directions to run in.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to figure out which one to really focus on. It's not so easy. Because, you know, you get in the shower and you have 15 new ideas. Man, write that down. That's great. I'll do that. And then, you know, a week later, you've got 800 more that you've come up with since then. So, And again, that's creation. That's, I think, again, that's what we're really meant to be. What we do here.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the reasons we don't have those little monkey brains, you know. People can say that we've got monkey brains.
Nah.
It's pretty fucking far from it.
Yeah.
Monkeys don't make art.
No, they don't.
You know, monkeys don't really make music.
But to that point, James, when you look around the world, and I think we both, in order to answer this, the question I'm really asking, we have to look beyond our circle of friends and acquaintances that are birds of a feathery connection with us, look out at the world at large. Do you think that we are the majority or the minority? Those of us who are aware that we need these kind of conversations, that we need to create, that we need to express ourselves and actually do it in some form or fashion?
I think it's a yes and a no. I think that that humans in general have a drive to create, a need to create. I mean, maybe some of that's biological imperative with children and that sort of thing. But I mean, I do think everybody's got creativity in them. I think that there are certain people or certain circumstances that raise certain people who have kind of an accelerated ability to do that, or to create things,
mm-hmm.
Or an accelerated need to create things. And, you know, and I think it's a reasonably small minority. And I say that, and this sounds maybe a little bit weird, but I say that mainly based on marketing,
mm-hmm.
because I think that, you know, well, actually I know that companies spend enough money on marketing to know what the general public is really looking for. And if the general public were the creative types, marketing and advertising would be vastly, vastly different. It, you know, if marketing and advertising play down to the lowest common denominator, the lowest common denominator is pretty low. I think we can all agree with that.
Well, yeah.
And so I don't know what the percentages would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonably low percentage of people who are, you know, the creators and drivers of the world, you know, and I think history, again, I think history bears that out too.
I agree.
You know, there's, you know, how many famous people can you name? Right. I mean, how many famous people are there in all the books in the world? You can't even name a fraction mm-hmm. of those, but for each famous person in a book, there's probably 2 million unfamous people that never, you know, never really did anything. It doesn't mean that they weren't creative. You know, there's all sorts of reasons that they might not have reached some plateau of creativity, but, you know,
or notoriety for their creativity. I think there's a lot of people now that I'm specifically looking for them and curious to find them. I find a lot of people who are like my neighbor, for example. She is extremely creative, but she's in her own bubble with it and perfectly happy to be there, has no compunction about letting the world see what she's doing. She's just, she can't help herself. She creates furniture and her house is full of furniture she has made herself. And I'm like, wow, you should. And then she's like, stops me. No, I should not start a business or any. I don't want that. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah. A lot of creative. I mean, you know, being a creative person doesn't mean that you're good at marketing or that you want to do sales.
Right.
You know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, we all have we all have blind spots and things that we do and things that we don't do and things we can't do. You know, one of the most honestly incredible illustrators and painters I know is a friend of mine. His name's Lee. That we actually went to college together.
Mm-hmm.
Just does incredible work, really strange and trippy, and but really, really cool. And he sucks at marketing. I mean, he just absolutely sucks at it. Brilliant guy. Nobody knows who he is. You know, when he dies, he'll have a house full of paintings and art and stuff. I've got some in my, not this isn't any of his, but I've got some of his stuff, you know. But when he goes, it just, you know, nobody knows, you know, and he's fine with that. That's just how he rolls. And it's, you know, there's, I don't think there's any shame in that. I don't think there's any.
No, I don't either. Other than when you were saying that sentence, I felt this well up of, oh, that's sad.
Well, it's like you're saying earlier.
For me,
like you're saying earlier, these are things that you, you know, you feel like the world should be able to see. And it's kind of a shame that the world doesn't get to see these things.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there's probably in within 5 miles of here, there's probably 10 people that are amazing artists that just nobody knows. They just do it, you know, or they have the ability and they just don't do it. You know, you see that a lot too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And unfortunately, I think our society, you know, especially the American society, is set up to kind of dull that creativity out of us, you know, and turn
and
us into
so focused on results, 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 results.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right. What category of results are we talking about? Society says results that don't generate revenue don't count.
Right. But society wouldn't have been built without results that didn't generate revenue.
Exactly. Exactly. I do know the answer to this question because you say it plain as day on your website, or one of them. And that is, if you didn't get paid to do what you do, would you do it anyway? And I know that's a resounding hell yes for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it. I mean, I do a lot of stuff that I don't get paid for. You know, there's a lot of art and stuff that I produce that very few people see, and I'm fine with that. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just the joy of making it, the joy of sharing it with certain people is enough. It doesn't have to all generate revenue. It doesn't all have to go into my lead magnet or into a funnel.
Right, right. I would say that.
Fun to make.
Yeah, yeah. And that's enough reason to do anything, I think, especially, you know, this is a great lead into how you and I met. We're in a mastermind together. And those are the topics we talk about all the time in there, is how to create the life you actually want to live and be the person you know, not only know you can be, but want to be on purpose, rather than and shuck off all this mantle of BS the world has put on us to whatever degree, and just let who we are shine through and be that in the world. And so, you know, I knew by virtue of the fact we were there together, of course, this was going to be a great conversation, because you think a lot of the same ways that I do about that stuff.
Yeah.
And creativity, I think that's the ultimate creativity, is to create your life and your who you're being in it.
Yeah. Well, you said something, purpose, you know, doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, live your life on purpose.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of, I think the most miserable people out there don't feel like they have a purpose, and they don't live into that purpose, and they don't live on purpose. And God damn it, I'm going to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I'm living my life with a purpose of having a better life every day, every minute. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's drawing shit. Other times it's messing with Dan Henry on Facebook.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you win the prize. For the longest time before I ever had a direct conversation with you, I was like, who the fuck is this guy anyway? Like, is he serious with this, or is this a joke, or is it both? And
it's both.
Yeah, that's what I've determined on my own. But you at this moment in my life are the poster guy for fly your freak flag. When I get a little nervous about anything, I just go to one of your sites and I'm like, oh, I can do this thing over here. Cause look at him, he's doing this and it's awesome, but oh, yeah, I can do my thing. And then I go back. So kudos to you for putting your flag out there the way you do, because it does, in fact, inspire the ability to do that for others, me being one of them. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I absorb that.
Yay.
Yes.
And receive it well. Yay.
That's as woo as we're getting, right? We're not, yes. not going down that road
anymore. No, we're not. We're not. What's something you just couldn't live without besides art and creating and your family? Because I know you very well. Those people are your most important people.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably nature. Yeah, being outside. I do enjoy being outside. I don't do it as much as I should. I know that, you know, I'm still I'm a recovering workaholic still, but
yeah.
I love being outside. You know, I love mowing my grass and kicking around the yard or going on a hike or getting in the river or whatever. Love being outside.
Do you find that, is that your go-to for when you get what I call creatively constipated? Is it to get outside into nature, or what's your go-to for unsticking yourself when you find yourself like that?
Playing guitar.
Okay.
I mean, certainly going outside, nature and all that stuff, but really one of the easiest ways for me to kind of reset is to pick up a guitar and just kind of noodle around on it. It completely breaks. There's something in there, the math of it, that just kind of breaks my brain out of whatever I was doing or not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it requires such an odd concentration that it almost immediately snaps me back. So, I mean, I've got a guitar sitting right here. I mean, you've seen other videos. Mm-hmm. I have guitars laying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost always within arm's reach.
That is interesting, because my answer to that would most likely be music.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, I don't want to be either, but if I had to choose suddenly to be blind or to be deaf, I'd pick blind all day, even though I build websites for a living.
That would be hard. That would be a really hard decision, because I really like looking at stuff too.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't ever want to have to pick, but
it'd be hard to be a blind designer.
Exactly. And much of all of my work requires vision. To do well, is that true? No, that's not true. To do the way I do it, yes, it's true. But I happen to know someone who is blind and builds websites and God bless them. That's technology saving the day there.
Yeah, no
kidding. Screen readers and all of that. And I think about him when I get frustrated with how hard it is for me to do something. No, this isn't hard. This is not hard. Quit your whining, Suzanne.
Yeah. Boy, isn't it easy to whine, though?
Oh, Lord, it is. Yeah. Oh, Lordy. What do you do for fun?
Play with my kids, play guitar. Speaking of, I homeschool our youngest son.
Okay.
He's messing with me now.
How old is he?
He's 8.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He'll be 18 when I'm 60. A little frightening, but no. I enjoyed making art. I enjoy designing things, drawing things.
So let me ask you this. I've had my own business since 2002. I build websites, and that's the main thing I do. I do a whole lot of other stuff, but that's what I'm quote unquote known for as my vocation. But because of all those other things that I have an interest in, many of them I access through this screen. Mm-hmm. And over the course, when I started my business, my kids were 15, 9, and 3. So my daughter doesn't remember mom working away from home in an office somewhere. I've always been right here. And when they were all home, my office was half of the living room, because I felt the need to be able to eyeball them and see what they were up to. I couldn't be behind a closed door, never mind the fact that there was not a room with a door available for me to have an office in. They were all taken up. So now, ironically, that they're, she's came back home last year, but the other two are up and out and have been for a good while. And now I finally have a bedroom that I can designate as my office and close the door, which is real handy, but I don't need it anymore because often I'm alone in this house. But when they were young, she in particular would look and see if I'm at the desk and automatically assume I'm working. And sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes I was doing something fun for me that also required me to be hands on the keyboard. And when she got wind of the fact that sometimes mama isn't working, then of course in her mind, all the time I'm not working.
Right. You're playing that Candy Crush.
Yeah. And, you know, it was interesting over the years to see, you know, that's way back then is the first time I realized that, you know, a lot of what I like to do and a lot of what interests me, I do access through this screen. Certainly not everything. I know that you, like you just said earlier, you say you really enjoy digital art and the immediacy of it and all of that. So I suspect you too have playtime that looks like work time.
Yeah.
So has that ever been an issue for you and your family? Or because it was a issue for me for a little while, a couple of years, where she really got it in her head that I was neglecting her because I was in that chair working, supposedly, but she never believed after that I was working. It took a couple of years for her to discern the difference, you know?
No, I've never really had that problem. I've been lucky enough to always have kind of a separate office.
Oh, that helps.
I'm here now. I do have a detached office here too. Mm-hmm. But since I've been homeschooling him this year, I've been staying mostly in the house. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they've ever equated to me being online with me fucking around.
Gotcha.
At least they probably do, but they've never voiced it to me anyway.
That might be because you have real smart kids.
Yeah, they take after their mother.
You mentioned you struggled with something earlier. Is that for you in this life? What is your biggest struggle?
Consistency, I think, is. Yeah. And maybe it's not even necessarily consistency. It's beating myself up for being inconsistent, I think.
Whoa, I share that one.
Yeah, it's, you know, I need to get this done, you know, and like, you know, like you're saying earlier, we got this giant list of things, these ideas that just keeps growing and growing and growing. And so you get upset with yourself for not getting enough done. And, you know, and self-defeating talk of, well, you're being lazy, you know, you shouldn't take that time off because you got this giant list of things to do. And I think that when I was younger, it bothered me a lot more. I feel like I'm getting a little bit more beyond that now. I still, you know, there's still that sometimes there's this tightness of, you know, God, I got all this shit I got to get done. Mm-hmm. It's a huge list and it's, you know, keeps growing. I'm better able now to kind of pull myself back from that and go, there's nothing on that list that has to be done right now.
Yeah.
You know, why are you getting so bent out of shape over this? Why are you calling yourself these bad names, you know, for not getting that list done quick enough, you know, when there's nobody else behind you going, you got to get that list done.
And there's nobody waiting to receive an item on that list going, right. Hello, where are you?
Yeah. I mean, client work's one thing, but, you know, as far as my you know, goals of empire, what do I get so bent out of shape over? You
know? Yeah. So the whole enjoy the journey thing is something you've learned how to do over the years that was not as present as it is now.
Yeah. It's taken a whole lot. I don't know if you know the story of us selling everything and hitting the road for a year and a half in an RV.
No, please tell that story.
Oh, God. Okay, well.
Because I know some people who've done that besides you, but I want to hear.
Yeah. Beth and I, Beth is my wife, decided that we were going to sell everything and go traveling in a 21-foot 1987 Toyota Dolphin RV with four kids.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You love your family. I know that for sure, just from that intro.
we didn't kill each other.
I wouldn't even attempt it with people I didn't like. Oh my gosh, I'd have to love them a lot.
I mean, it was hard as hell, and you know, it was not comfortable most times, but we.
What was the catalyst for doing that?
Being completely burned out.
Oh.
You know, and feeling like it was kind of all falling apart. The marriage wasn't doing real well because we were really, really bored. And we kind of created a life that we didn't really like all that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to blow it up. Me personally, I've got a reasonably good track record of doing that. You build a business and it's not exactly what I want. You blow it up and start over. I've done that probably five times in the past 21 years. I mean, all on the same kind of bent, but hit this mass and then I'm going to trim a bunch of this off, back to it. And really that's what it was. It was trimming away all the stuff that wasn't serving us. And there was a lot, we had a house and acreage and all this stuff. And it was just too much. Life had gotten to be unfun.
A little too rote, too required all day. There's not enough loose time to do and explore, and too much is already a given.
I think we were supremely bored, and in some ways taking it out on each other. And I think especially me. I mean, I have a tendency to become a monster when I get bored, because I pick at people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed that, but it seems to be a running thread with my life, is picking at things. We had been married for 23 years, I think. This was, I think, 5 years ago, four or 5 years ago that we did this, and just traveled around and stayed in weird campgrounds and Airbnbs and Walmart parking lots and all this stuff. And, yeah.
Did you go around the whole U.S.?
Yeah. Yeah, we 36 states.
Okay.
Wasn't all the U.S., but a lot of it. We didn't actually make it to Washington. Didn't make it any further north than California.
Okay. That is an adventure.
He's over here saying, my favorite stop was Chinatown. Really like Chinatown, San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. That's awesome.
It's cool. It just really reset everything and kind of.
How did you know when it was time to not do that anymore?
We were just tired of it.
Okay.
The idea was a year, that we were just going to do it for a year and then we were going to come back. And it turned into 12 months and then 14 months and 18 months. And then we kind of decided we needed to come back. We left our eldest son here. He was 22 at the time. And kind of came back to help him. He needed to move and kind of came back to help him out. We're planning on going back out, but only loosely planning. But then oddly, as we were coming into North Carolina, we spent a couple, actually almost a month in South Carolina. As we were coming up the mountain to North Carolina, the RV shat out on us, just as we were coasting into town. So
there's your sign.
yep. There was no more.
So
we sold the RV. It was those old Dolphins are kind of collectible at this point, and we'd refurbed it and it was kind of cool. We sold it and made a down payment on the house, and now we're stuck here in North Carolina again.
I think stuck is not the right verb for that sentence.
We're reloading and then we're going to move to New Mexico.
Are you? Oh, cool. You might be in danger of an actual visit from me if you do. Actually, you're sitting duck where you're at. What am I talking about? Because if I can drive there, I have been known. I make trips to Greenville, South Carolina on a weekend to see my aunt from Oklahoma, like drive 15 hours, spend a day, drive 15 hours home.
Yeah, I think we're about an hour from Greenville.
Yeah. I love a road trip. I love get out. I love them with people, but my favorites are the ones where I'm by myself because I love to sing. So I get a lot of practice when, you know, by myself with that. But I also, that's my time to get business books and books of other interests in my head through Audible.
Yeah.
That's probably the one thing, the one way that 2020 messed up my world. COVID really didn't impact me. I already worked from home. I didn't get out much anyway. Restaurants being closed, yeah, that was a hiccup that I noticed, but it wasn't like, oh no, what will I do? But the whole stay the hell where I'm at and don't go see people.
Yeah.
I'm used to taking 3-4 road trips a year, and I didn't do any last year. And man, I came into this year twitchy as all get out. And I'm like, I made it to April and I'm like, screw it. I don't care if I get the virus, I got to go. And yeah. I've been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trips since April this year.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I'm catching up.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in Hickory, North Carolina, we've got plenty of room and our coffee is always really good.
Well, that is all I need. And actually, I don't need the plenty of room. I just need the really good coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're very, very serious about that here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what? And I think this may, depending on your answer, be my last question for you today. What do people constantly and consistently misunderstand about you?
I think in a lot of ways, and I think especially on social media, I kind of come across as a bit of a dick. And I'm not a dick, you know, I'm actually a pretty nice guy.
I can corroborate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like to have fun and I'm kind of brash, crass, I guess. But it's never really out of a place of meanness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been accused of being mean and have had people tell me privately that, you know, you're kind of coming across as mean, or people that, you know, out in public are seeing you as mean. And I'm really not, you know, I'm a nice guy. I just can be a kind of obnoxious, but I enjoy being obnoxious. It's funny to me.
Yeah. I totally get that because I have a good swath of that myself. I think it probably for me shows up more in my offline life with people that I know in person here in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart ass is the Suzanne. No, they don't call me that. They call me smart ass. But yeah, I could see that because, you know, I think there's also, and this is my impression, so feedback for you, sir. I think there's some very on-purposeness about creating what is a little, I think there's a little on-purpose about the misdirection that you do, particularly on social media. And my impression, and I get this from trying to put myself in your shoes to do the same thing in my work and my brand, seems to be like a gatekeeping device for you. Is that accurate?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I know we said we're not going to get woo-woo, but I'm an empathic person. I do absorb energy from people around me, people I interact with. And if there's negative energy, and there is negative energy out there, and if somebody's having a hard time or whatever, I have a tendency to kind of internalize it and bring it on. So I put up, you know, this wall of brand in front of me to kind of keep a little bit of distance there, because, you know, people that make it through are the people that need to make it through. But I can't handle, you know, I can't handle the throngs of adoring fans that I would generate. People really knew what a nice guy it was.
Yeah, I get that. I was telling someone this morning that is, you know, I don't have but a couple local clients in my business. And it's not that I don't think, well, I don't expose my home address on the web. So unless they had been invited here by me, they would never know where I live and where I work. But there's just that energy. I need distance. I need to for sure know that nobody's just going to pop up knocking on my door. And yeah. I'm like that in a lot of other ways too. Like, nobody believes that I'm an introvert, but I am a flaming all caps introvert. And that's what made me ask you that question, because I suspected the same was true of you. And I don't know if it's common among creative people. I could make a case just off the top of my head for introversion being required, depending on the creativity you get up to in your life. But that whole energy thing, I think society has defined introvert and extrovert as, do you talk to other people or not?
Right.
And that is so not it. It's energy. How do you refuel? What costs you energy? And from that perspective, I'm all caps introvert, but I never am believed when I say that to people who don't know me well, because I'm a blabbermouth. I'm the most gregarious introvert you'll ever meet.
Yeah. I mean, I play an extrovert online.
That's a good way to put it too.
Yeah.
I'm not to borrow that.
Yeah. Feel free. But yeah, it is funny. The online persona is a strange thing. And it's really only been about 3 or 4 years that I've been online.
Uh-huh.
I think December 2017 was when I joined Landon's group. And that was like my first, I'd been online, you know, I'd had interactions and stuff, but as far as marketing myself online, right, I had never really done it other than SEO and that sort of thing. But getting out there as the, you know, mouthpiece of a brand, is a very, very new thing to me. And so it's, you know, I know what my limitations are, and I know that my limitations of being with people daily is pretty slim to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got 6 people in my house. So,
right.
You know,
a lot of that capacity is pre-claimed.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, in what capacity I do have, I try to hold back for them, because right, they deserve it. No offense, online people, but my family deserve my energy more than you do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm going to have to poke around. You know, I spent some time poking around your stuff online this morning before talking with you. And now I want to go back and poke around again with this lens of knowing that this is all fairly young for you.
Yeah. I mean, the work that I show and the portfolio pieces and all that stuff, that's, you know, some of that dates back, but
right,
you know, all this online presence and stuff is pretty new. You know, I've had accounts pretty much everywhere, because web development, you get the accounts, you get the backlinks, you do all that stuff, right? But you know, actually being myself online is pretty new. I don't want to take the podcast in a totally different direction, but you know, there were times when I was online anonymously and wound up getting caught, and death threats, and being in the middle of $500,000 libel suits for Facebook posts and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been online. I've never done it the right way. Right. I've never positioned myself online the way that I have the past couple of years, really.
Gotcha. Well, it fascinates me because I, like you said, I've had accounts all over everywhere. I remember before Twitter, hearing about Twitter and how, oh, it's going to be so big. And yeah, it turned out to be pretty big. But Twitter drives me insane. I don't spend much time on Twitter, and it's just too much. It's too much, too fast. Yeah. It's too splintered. I'm like, I have enough trouble keeping track of myself, much less what's going on there.
I've got a Twitter account, and I have an RSS feed that just dumps into it, and that's all the content I put on Twitter.
And that's what I do where I can't like don't want to be there myself or really don't feel like it's a good groove for me. Automate.
That's it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I really appreciate you coming today and talking with me. I really have enjoyed this conversation. And so tell people first I'm going to tell people you're the fabulous creative that created my cover art for this very podcast. Yeah. And I love it. So thank you so much again.
Thank you.
But tell the fine folks listening, should they care to get your expertise in marketing and branding, where is the best place to start for that?
Probably unclejimbo.me. That's got links to my main website. And otherwise, jamespmgaffney.com. That's the mothership.
Okay. James P. M. Gaffney, and that's two F's in Gaffney.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Really had fun.
This has been great. Thank you.
If you're hell-bent on wringing every last drop of awesome out of this life and the time you have here, I invite you to visit SuzanneSaysPodcast.com for more conversations and to subscribe. If you'd like to be a guest and have a conversation, email me at letstalk@SuzanneSaysPodcast.com. Thanks for listening.